Blog Talk Radio.
And Boogie Crack. Yeah, K Boogie. I ain't gonna do no intro on this one. Let's go.
Rich money. Rich money.
Let's go.
It's Storm. Storm.
Let's go.
You are now tuned in. Tuned in. GQ Palace Radio. 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 Entertain. Detain. Detain. With your host. Rich money. Rich money.
Let's go.
Storm. 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 Keep it locked. 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 Locked.
Let's go.
Yo, what up, what
Let's
up,
go.
Peace World, this your boy Mellow Man Ace, right now you got it locked on GQ
Let's
Palace
go.
Radio, 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 radio,
rich money, money,
Let's go.
Yeah, what's good y'all, it's your boy Mikey D, aka Playboy Mikey D, aka Mikey D Structures, formerly
Let's
of Mount Source in the LA Posse, currently with Elements of Hip Hop. Y'all
Let's
already
go.
Know what it is. Right now, you're tuned in to GQ Palace. Keep it locked, 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 locked.
Storm, storm.
Let's go.
This is Elias, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio. Follow me.
Let's go.
Follow me, yeah. Follow me.
Let's go. Let's go.
Hi, this is Deja Vu.
Let's
and you're
go.
Listening to GQ Palace Radio.
Love and entertainment.
Let's go.
Rich money.
Rich money.
Storm. Storm. Storm.
Let's go.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent. GrandAgent.net. Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Hey, where the party at? Got that 9-9 black in a gallon of yak. Whip washed and waxed from the front to back. The homie Mike G told me that I got it like that.
What?
Fresh to death like a million sacks. The whole squad ain't nothing but pimps and Mac.
Yeah.
His shorty pulls up with the crazy lash and set. All I wanna know is where the party at. Now we bout to roll. Rob holding me down and we bout to blow. Shorty surround me in a mob and you already know I got money in the stash, so I'm heavy with the dough. Whips on the strip looking like a car show. Me and this red bone bout to go toe to toe. I sat in the back before we got to that. She said, all I wanna know is where the party at. All I wanna know is where the party at. Push up on some with the crazy back. The kid bad dap, the haters a fallback. See, all I wanna know is where the party at. Say what? All I wanna know is where the party at. Push up on some with the crazy back. The kid mad dap, the haters a fallback. See, all I wanna know is where the party at. Now we gon' get it in like Snoop Dogg. I'm sippin' on that juicy gin. I'm in the S-10, bout to take it for a spin. Like poker with the stars and I'm going all in.
Victor
at my shorty
rich.
With a devilish grin. I'm tryna bounce these nuts off a chinny chin chin. She said, yo, I don't know about all that, but I might if you show me where the party at. Shorty, don't you know who I am? Boogie from the Notorious 9-9 fam. Watch the young man, I'm the king of the jam. I make like you're doing and slam. Look straight through her like a hologram. Pants look like she's smuggling two ham. We chat, I demonstrate my match. She threw it on me when I showed her where the party was at. Hey, yo, all I wanna know is where the party at. Push up on some with the crazy back. The kid mad dap, the haters a fallback. See, all I wanna know is where the party at. Push up on some with the crazy back. The kid mad dap, the haters a fallback. See, all I wanna know is where the party at. Step inside the party live. All eyes on us as soon as we arrive. Bottles at the bar, didn't want to deprive. Squad met me inside, so I bought about five. Ran into some old school friends of mine. I'ma go handle some business, mama go socialize. Go order what you want, boo, I'll be right back. She said, I'm waiting for you, daddy, don't leave me flat. Never that, ma. Do what you do. Anybody stone on you, you know my crew, you good. I'ma holler at my people from the zoo. When I'm through, me and you gon' get right back. Heavy on that 1-2 step until we break sweat. From the 9-9 on deck.
Word.
Stepping on the haters like a dirty doormat. And you already know where the party is at.
Where I'm at.
All I wanna know is where the party at.
Push up on some with the crazy back. The kid mad that the haters are fall back. See, all I wanna know is where the
you
party at.
Say
what?
All
I wanna know is where the party at. Push up on some with the crazy back. The kid mad that the haters are fall back. See, all I wanna know is where the party at.
Tuned in. GQ Palace Radio. Radio. Entertainment. With your host. Rich Money. Storm. Keep it locked.
What's going on, guys and beaters? What's good? Welcome back to another episode of Love and Entertainment. With your host, Rich Money, Storm handling something right now. So you'll probably call in later. He's dealing with some business for GQ Palace Radio. I want to put y'all on what's going on tonight. We have CEO of Mad Focus, Dr. Kim Gatlin, in the building. And he's going to announce the winner of the Mad Focus 2nd Annual Children Are Mad Making a Difference Contest. He's also going to fill us in on what's been going on with his organization in the past and what's going on with it in the future and what events he got coming up. Before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, I thought I seen Dye number up there, but it went off. Okay, come on. We're going to get to you in a minute, Dye. I see your number. I know your number, so I see it. Don't worry about it. I got you. I see your number, fam. But before we get started, I want to say, you know, nowadays hospitals is not even safe right now, because you had a doctor that was fired at Bronx Lebanon Hospital who actually went in there. He killed at least one person before killing himself, and gunfire broke out. The doctor's name was Henry Bello, you know, so take heed to what y'all doing. Observe your surroundings. I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to waste no time with who we got coming on. So I just want to bring them on right now. Let's get started. All right. Welcome in the building, my man, Doc Kim, CEO of Mad Focus. Doc Kim, are you there?
Yes, sir. You can hear me, sir?
Yeah. I can hear you.
You hear me?
Yep.
What's going on, Rich Money?
Ain't nothing. Same old. Yeah. You can hear me?
I can hear you. I saw a little pause, but thank you for actually inviting me on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's definitely an honor having you on. We know you're a big man doing big things, you know, for the community, for the children, and it's definitely appreciated.
Trying to.
You know.
Thank you for the acknowledgement, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. Now, how did you come up with the name Mad Focus?
Well, before I actually started with my own organization, I was actually part of an organization called Men Tech in Action. I'm pretty sure you know about it because I did an interview a couple of years back on your show about Men Tech in Action. And we used to actually go out there to Albany upstate, and we do mentoring the kids. And the kids out there, especially in Albany, they were getting bullied. So I came up with a concept which basically was called Mad Focus, because a lot of times when kids were getting basically bullied, they was using their anger in a negative fashion. So I used to tell them, listen, you know, most of the time when a kid is trying to bully you, they basically, you know, are the weak link. They try to basically, you know what I'm saying, pick something on you, make them feel better. I said, so take all that negative energy you have. Yeah, get mad. I said, but, you know, I use the word mad in increments as far as, you know, motivate yourself, be ambitious, be determined to do better, and then focus. And then, you know, just use that negative feeling that you have and put it in a positive way. You know what I'm saying? Just to motivate yourself to do better. You know, a lot of these kids, they use their anger in a negative form. And, you know, it's easy to do negative than do positive. So the way I came up with Mad Focus is, you know, just to basically let the kids know, listen, yeah, you could be mad, you could be upset, but, you know, take all that negative energy that you have and put it in a positive form. So that's the way I came up with Mad Focus. And then I noticed, I said, you know what? I said, let me just take this Mad Focus and make it the forefront. And basically I ran with that concept and did it on my own. So I came up with my own organization, which is called Mad Focus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I salute you. I definitely salute you on that. Now, you have a lot of people out here that's, you know, doing for the community and as well. But what makes Mad Focus different from everybody else?
Well, me personally, you know, I applaud everybody, anyone that basically have a lot of organizations that's trying to better the community. So, you know, I don't look at myself as trying to, you know, be in competition. But what I try to do is that I use my passion of trying to help out the community, and I be consistent with it. I try to go hands on hands with the community. I just don't basically ask people for money or I don't solicit things. I basically, you know, a lot of times use my own money and I fund myself to actually go out and try to, you know, better the community. I'm gonna give you a perfect example. When I actually started Mad Focus, I started it by myself. I'm still by myself, and I've been with Mad Focus approximately going on 3 years. And when I actually try to do things for the community, I try to, like I say, be hands on hands. And every month or every 2 months, I try to actually do something to actually elicit some type of growth and progress and positivity and people, period. My organization is more of a motivation type thing. I try to basically try to get people to do things on their own. A lot of times, you know, people feel that they can't really, you know, do certain things, especially in our race, because a lot of times there's single parenting or there's two parents in the home, but they have to work jobs, whatever the case might be, to actually put food on the table. So I just try to basically give them that little, that footstool to make sure that they understand that, listen, I'm there for you. Period.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't just cover one thing. I cover everything. I don't care what it is. Like, I donated almost 10,000 pounds of food to people with need, mm-hmm. to City Harvest.
Yeah.
I basically go to these women's shelters. I basically donated clothes. I donate toys to the kids. I also do a mentorship as well. I just don't give. I let them know and understand that, listen, you know, just because you're here don't necessarily mean that this is the end. And at the same time, I also try to give the kids more, you know, school supplies. Like, I have an affiliation with this young lady. Her name is Patrice. The organization is called Single Moms, Inc., whereas we gave over 500 book bags to kids, as well as we had the arcade trucks. You know, we actually fed them. We made a good day out of it. Like, what I try to do, I try to make them feel that, listen, you're not the less fortunate. You're equal. I don't want you to feel like, you know, I'm giving you this because of the fact that you're less fortunate. I'm giving it to you because I'm trying to motivate you to actually carry on and progress. So that's, I just try to make people feel good. It's not about, you know, like I said, trying to make someone feel less fortunate. It's about basically bringing people together, unity. That's what we lack in our community, our race. We lack unity.
You know what? You definitely hit it on the head. Now, what you did, I'm gonna say was magnificent how you got the kids involved. Cause you got the kids involved,
sir,
with the fact of you having them write essays.
Yes, sir.
And giving them gifts for writing the best essay. Now, how did you actually come up with that?
Yeah, it's funny. I came up with the word, like I said, I try to use the word mad in a positive form. So when I came up with the children are mad, meaning the children are making a difference, I was trying to focus the inner borough kids, mainly the Hispanics and the African Americans. And the reason why I try to do that is because, you know, let's be honest, stereotypes is based on the fact that we are not basically intelligent. We don't know how to articulate ourselves. The society look at us as being either, you know, like gang members or drug addicts or anything that's pertaining to something that's negative. So what I try to do, the reason why I came up with this, is because of the fact that, one, I want the kids to understand that they have a voice. They have a voice. You can actually, you know, voice your opinion about where you live at with your penmanship, and the government, the officials will actually listen if you just write in. Our community, our race don't understand that only thing we have to do is just basically write, and it starts off with the foundation, which is the kids. So I try to
I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No problem. I was about to actually get my boogie on, but anyway, I just try to get you know, society to understand, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, our youth is not that typical, you know, gang member. I want the kids to articulate themselves by actually either expressing themselves through essay, through poems, through writing. Think about it, you know, in our race, especially minorities, when it pertains to African-Americans and Hispanics, when we actually put our words on paper, if we want to become an artist, like a rapper or we call them people that actually do poems, like spoken word, like someone that actually go on stage and speak, we know how to actually articulate ourselves very well as a poet. There you go. You know, we know how to actually use our penmanship when it comes down to things like that. But do we know how to actually use our penmanship when it's actually, you know, talking about the government? Or do we know how to use our penmanship when it's actually pertaining to what you need, you know what I'm saying, for your family, or what do you need for your community? And it's sad to say that, you know, let's be honest, like, society is trying to dumb us down. You know, look at the music. The music that we actually used to embrace back in the days with hip-hop, you had to literally have lyrics. You know what I'm saying? You had to be smart. You had to articulate your words in order for you to actually be considered an MC or artist. Now, you know, you mumbling words, you know what I'm saying? And you got these kids actually reciting these artists, mumbling. And it gets to a point where they think that's a language. And then when you think that's a language, what you tend to do, you tend to write how you talk. So the reason why I came up with this actual contest, because I wanted the kids to try to articulate themselves and express themselves in a way where they let the official know that you too have a voice. And this is my second year actually doing it.
Wow. And it is definitely succeeding. It's getting real big. And it's definitely getting out there. Now, you was also nominated for an article in the Daily News.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. What was that feeling like?
Wow, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I was very, very, very humbled. I ain't gonna lie, I was shocked. And the way that actually came about is that, you know, a young lady by the name of Miss Yvette Cook, which is basically my half, she actually basically just wrote into the Daily News and just basically expressed exactly what I do. She never told me. It's funny. She just basically wrote it in. And so, you know, when I actually got a call, actually by the publisher of the Daily News stating, in fact, that I've been nominated. And they said that I beat out, like, basically hundreds of nominees. And at first I was like, what? Like, I didn't understand, like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know I was nominated. But then I found out that she actually put in an actual nomination. So I was humbled just to be nominated because I was actually, you know, considered for the actual Hometown Hero Award. But then when I got the call like a couple months later saying I actually won, that right there shows the fact that, you know, even though I do what I do without no acknowledgement, like I do it for passion, just for, you know, just to actually be noticed, you know, for my actual work and my humanitarian, you know what I'm saying, to try to bring out, you know, to the best of people, it's, like I said, it's a blessing. So, you know, I was humbled, but then at the same time, I ain't gonna lie. Like inside, I was basically jumping for joy, you know.
Exactly, that's something to definitely jump up for joy about, you know. Now I know you also do like tournaments for the kids, basketball tournaments and everything, you know, for the kids as well. You know, I know you had that. You know, how did you wind up getting the kids involved with that? Because you know you got
I think you probably mistaken. The basketball tournament was basically put together to actually bring up donations for the kids. We actually had to I had my employees to bring. Yeah, exactly. What I did was I came over for the math focused basketball tournament. Anybody could actually get involved. You didn't have to have any type of talent, which was basically funny because it was more comical than anything. It was more comical than anything when you actually had guys, especially, you know, say, in they like mid-50s trying to play ball. And everything was based on NBA rules. That was basically more exciting. But I came up with that concept because, like I said before, I'm doing everything on my own. And nothing would stop me from basically trying to make sure that, you know, I could actually continue bringing, you know, joy to the kids or to people that need joy. So I try to, you know, come up with ways to try to raise money. You know, just to actually, you know, get the joy out there. So the basketball tournament was one of them. And it actually was very successful because that money that I was able to raise, I was actually able to actually get the 500 book bags and supplies to give to the kids.
Okay. So now let me ask you. You was with Men Taking Action. That was a couple of yards. And now you're dealing with Mad Focus on a solo basis. What's the difference between those two? You know, what was the good things and what was the bad things that make you feel like, okay, I could do this by myself? You know, everybody go through situations when they're dealing with somebody. Sometimes it can work out, sometimes it can't. But what's the difference between dealing with somebody and trying to help the community and dealing by yourself and trying to help the community?
First of all, I want to give a shout out to my peoples that I was dealing with back with Men Taking Action, Ross Smith, Terrence Ray, Joseph Presley, Joe Farrell, and myself. You know, I want to give a shout out to them, you know what I'm saying? Because when I was with Man Taking Action, you know, that's what actually, you know, started up for me to be Mad Focus. The difference was, like I said, we were dealing with six individuals. And when you're dealing with six individuals, of course, you know, the passion is going to be different and your way of thinking is going to be different. So, you know, when you have six strong-minded individuals that's basically going different ways and different directions, it's kind of hard, especially, like I said, if all six of us are strong-minded. With Men Taking Action, we was focusing on sickle cell anemia, which is basically a disease that a lot of, you know, African-Americans and people from the islands receive. You have the trait and you have the actual disease. And we was actually trying to bring awareness on that on top of basically doing the mentorship. I'm not going to lie, your shot, Rich Money, you know me for over 30-plus years. I think you will understand what I'm talking about when it comes down to me. I can't stand still. You know that. Like exactly. When one thing stops, I have to keep moving. You know that. You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
You know, with me, I know I'm hard-headed. I'm not even going to actually front when it comes down to something I'm passionate about. I'm very hard-headed. So the conflict of interest was the fact that, you know, I wanted to continue doing a lot of things for the community. And with my job as an MTA employee, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes, which I do understand because we also have our families and we have other, you know, obligations. But I look at it like this. I do math for everything I actually do. There's 24 hours in a day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And out of those 24 hours, you have 1 hour, which is basically 60 minutes. And out of them 60 minutes, you know what I'm saying, you actually have seconds, which basically 60 seconds equal 1 minute. So if you actually, you know what I'm saying, multiply 60 seconds, you know what I'm saying, times it by 60, you know what I'm saying, which is minutes, you know what I'm saying, you have like 3,600 seconds. So the reason why I'm doing this is because of the fact that, yo, there's no excuse on why you can't do certain things. You just got to know how to prioritize. It's not basically taking away from anything. It's basically sacrificing. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, people don't understand. Like, okay, listen, I'm going to give you a perfect example. You know, like going out and hanging out in the club. You know what I'm saying? That's 3 hours. That's entertainment. That's indulgement. So if I could actually just take away that, just to actually, you know what I'm saying, put something to replace that, why not? You know what I'm saying? Like, so sometimes, you know what I'm saying, you have to sacrifice one thing, you know what I'm saying, to actually, you know what I'm saying, bring in another. So with me, a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, some people don't understand it. Like I said, like, I'm not taking anything away from the guys from Men Taking Action. But my passion was basically helping out the community. And I know what I had to do in order for me to do that. I had to actually go solo because I didn't want to disrespect their vision. Because I had a brighter vision or a broader vision. So, you know, we part ways in a respectful manner. And, you know, like I said, I big them up. I hope they continue success in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had to continue doing it. I had to, like, you know, just move on. It was like Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan feels like, you know, if he got to continue doing his legacy, even though he may fail. I mean, he went to the Wizards. What happened? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he wasn't as great when he went to Chicago, but he continued on. So sometimes, you know, you just gotta, you know, just take your vision and work with it. And everything is supposed to be with trial and error. And I think, with God blessing, that once I started with Mad Focus, everything came 10 times fold. Because as you can see, I got nominated, actually, you know, saying, for the Daily News. I did the 10-10 Wins interview. I'm getting interviews with my boy Rich, you know what I'm saying, Rich Money, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of things is actually coming my way, you know what I'm saying, by me just making that sacrifice. And that's what I'm trying to teach the kids.
Wow, I definitely salute you. I definitely salute you. Now, you doing all this, you know, you got the helping out the community, you working, you got the family. How do you balance everything out?
It's hard. Like I said, I'm not going to lie. I do everything in numbers. I'm not going to even front. I sit down. I realize that, you know, I chose to be a father. So I don't basically take anything away from that. I'm going to actually be with my kids regardless. So that's nothing, to, no thing to actually compromise off. So, you know, of course, as you can see, I pick up my kids every weekend. My job, that's something I need to do anyway because of the fact that I have to basically, you know, provide for my family. So I don't compromise that. So anything in between is compromisable. So what I tend to do is that, you know, with my organization, I tend to basically get my kids involved. So it's more of, okay, I'm spending quality time with my son, but at the same time, I'm still handling business. My kids, basically the youngest ones, Marquise and Devontae, they come with me in every event that I actually have. So I can actually let them know and show them, you know, listen, you know what I'm saying, this is what your father is doing. So hopefully, you know what I'm saying, you understand that, you know what I'm saying, that you also can do this. And at the same time, I want them to see how fortunate they are because they don't understand our struggles. You know what I'm talking about? Like in the 70s and the 80s, we ain't have no smartphones. You know what I'm saying? We ain't have all these, you know what I'm saying, like Xbox 1, 2, 3, 360. Exactly. Yeah, I was happy as hell just to have an Atari or like, I was happy as hell just to actually get some piece of paper and fold that shit up. So, you know, I mean, I'm keeping it 100. Yo, Sha, how many times we went outside, we evict games. And that's another thing, too. Like, you know, kids nowadays don't know what it is to have fun. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand, you know what I'm saying, the creativity of basically, you know what I'm saying, this creating something and realizing that this is something you created and then and having fun with it by basically, you know what I'm saying, just being physical, like Skelsies and, you know what I'm saying, red light, green light, exactly. And kick the can and, you know what I'm saying, hot peace and butter. Yo, let me tell you something. And you would never think to actually play a game with a belt, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Go around hiding a belt and looking for it and getting still saying getting hit. But okay, that's the type of games we had, but we had fun. We had fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know what I'm saying? You got these kids, the way they want to actually have fun is basically, you know what I'm saying, spend $400 on a Ferragamo belt and then tease other kids, you know what I'm saying, about their little belt they have on their pants. Like, everything became a fashion statement now. Like even my son, I have to like literally sit him down. My oldest ones, they get it. I'm not gonna lie, they very good kids. I have all good kids, but my 14-year-old, I think he's more into the fashion field. He don't understand that, you know, it takes money, artwork. If you want to actually buy a $250 pair of sneakers, or the fact that you want that actually Louis Vuitton belt, he's in that couture stage. You know what I'm saying? So I try to, like, let them understand, listen, you know what I'm saying? If you want those, there's nothing wrong with it. But I know when I was being raised and my mom was single and she was going shopping at Favors and Woolworths, and I was like, yo, hold up. I'm not walking around with these sneakers with the rubber tips, you know what I'm saying? So I went out there and got my own job, you know what I'm saying? I didn't argue with her. She got it for me. You know, come on, Sha. You were snapping on me, too, when I was coming outside with the rubber tips, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. But see, nowadays, it's like I said, society is taking our kids. Let me tell you something. Now, I want you to think about what I'm about to tell you, Sha. And it's going to make you go, I tell the kids, right? I said, you see how, you know what I'm saying, the ACS now is involved as far as now the parents can't discipline their kids. Like, if you beat your child, the child actually called 911, you getting arrested, right? Am I right? But, yo, exactly. You see how society now got NYPD. NYPD could beat the shit out your kids if they're being disrespectful. They could even basically damn near kill your kid, and they'll get away with it. Because they say the kid was either being disrespectful or disobedient or was not following when I told them to actually put his hands behind his back. But then if the fact that, you know what I'm saying, you is basically telling your son or your daughter, listen, I need to do your homework, and they talking back to you, you whip their ass, you know what I'm saying, you getting arrested. So what kind of double standard is that? You can't whip your kid, but the cop can actually beat the shit out of your kid if they tell your kid, you know what I'm saying, put your hand behind your back, and they don't want to. So I tell the kids all the time, listen, this is the reason why I'm coming to y'all and I'm doing the mentoring shit. It's not like how it was back in the days. Y'all have no wins when it comes down to society. Society always got y'all as a failure, you know what I'm saying, because of the fact that of stereotypes. It's unfortunate, you know what I'm saying? I had this conversation with a young lady. I'm not going to blow her up, but me and her, we was having this conversation. She's very smart, too. She's a paralegal. And she was like, yeah, stereotypes is actually considered a fact. I said, no, it's not. I said, it's unfortunate that, you know, stereotype goes off majority, but majority is not still a fact. You still have less that don't do. Like, okay, majority of black people eat chicken. Majority of white people can't dance. Okay, but that's not a fact. You know what I'm talking about? Even though it's considered a stereotype. So it's sad that in black communities and Hispanic communities, they got us as being gang members, thieves, uneducated, can't articulate themselves. But the unfortunate situation is that that's what the TVs and the radio and everybody's basically broadcasting, even reality shows. We actually, you know what I'm saying, going on Channel 52. You see it on Facebook. Yo, they glorifying love and hip-hop and basketball wise when all this ratchetness is going on. But then when you have something that's being posted on CNN that's basically telling you what's very important that blacks or Hispanics is doing, no one on Facebook is glorifying that. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, you know what I'm saying, we're going to actually go off the stereotypes because of the fact that that's what you broadcast. And, you know what I'm saying, we have to fix that. We have to fix that.
You're definitely right. Now, as far as you know, you're doing everything by yourself, man, focus. You know, you got everything. You got it productive. You got everything that you need to do with Mad Focus. You got it organized correctly. So if somebody, be honest now, if somebody was to come and be like, well, you know what, I want to be part of your team. Now, considering the fact that you already have everything the way you have it, do you feel like you would accept somebody in as part of your team, or you would just keep it as, okay, I'm just going to do this by myself?
No. I would definitely, if someone want to get involved. Matter of fact, I had a couple of individuals that came up to me straight up, and they said they want to actually be involved, but they know me. I'm a straight up person. So I let them know, I'm going to listen, if you're not going to give 110%, I don't need 100. I need 110 because this is hard work. If you're not going to put 110% in this, then it's not for you. And then when they hear that and they hear the aggressiveness out of my mouth, then they back off. You understand what I'm talking about? So in order for you to get involved with Mad Focus, and I'm the type of person, I basically walk to walk. I just don't talk it. So that's why I post everything I do. I basically walk it. So if you're going to actually follow in my footsteps, you have to actually be on my status or better. I'm not taking anything less. If I can actually do this all by myself, if you're going to actually get involved, then why would I actually get someone involved if they're going to actually only give me less than what I'm actually giving out?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I embrace, I basically, all doors open. I mean, more the merrier. Matter of fact, like I said before, I have a young lady, her name is Patrice Bryant. She has an organization called Single Moms, Inc. And she has the same type of actual passion I do. So me and her, we collaborate very well. So she'll come to me. She'll be like, listen, you know, Doc Kim, certain things, you know, I see you doing, I'm not going to get involved because I can't get my 100% in it. And vice versa, I tell her the same thing. And this is the type of relationship we have. So, you know, sometimes, don't think people have to understand that when you get, if you get involved with an organization that's nonprofit, you got to learn, and it's unfortunate that there's some people out there just for recognition. You know what I'm saying? They, oh, I got this organization, and, you know what I'm saying, they broadcasting, you know what I'm saying, what they do to these people that basically, you know what I'm saying, less fortunate. They taking pictures of bums, giving out. Like, why would you even actually degrade the person that you actually trying to help? Because you're trying to actually get yourself on top. So, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying, like I said, they'll solicit money. They'll get, like, basically, like, $1,000, and they'll probably only donate $100 and keep $900 in their own pocket. Like, those are the people you have to watch out for. So I tell people, and anybody that's basically listening, and they could tell you anything or anybody that ever donated towards Matt Focus, I always tell them, yo, get it yourself and give it to me. Some people be like, yo, I give you $20. No, don't give me no money. I want you to actually buy whatever you want to buy, because now when I give that person, you and that person have a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I do. Like, if you want to buy a book bag, I want you to buy a book bag, like, if the fact you're buying it for your own child. Don't go to no little department store and get me, like, 20 bags that for $1. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you degrading them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try to basically, you know what I'm saying, treat everybody like I treat my own son, basically. So, you know, if you're going to come at me, if you're going to come at Matt Focus, you got to give me 110%. I don't need nothing less than that.
I definitely feel you on that. You're definitely right about that. You're the son of the Lord. Now, let me ask you this, right? Let's say you got a young man, a young woman coming up to you, and they want to get to where you at with helping the community. What advice can you give them to get to where you at?
I do a lot of research. In order for you to actually be a nonprofit, as far as in, like, you don't have to be a 501c3 to be a nonprofit. First of all, I tell them that if you have the passion, you gotta have the passion for it. If you don't have the passion for it, don't even get involved, because, like I said, this is something that's not temporary. If you want to actually do something, because it takes time, effort, and also money, in order for you to actually, you know, be given back to the community. So if they want to actually start their own organization, of course, you got to come up with a name that's really catchy, something that, you know what I'm saying, that's not going to sound demeaning, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, you can't have, you know what I'm saying, giving back to the bum community, you know what I'm saying, like, you got to have something that's really, you know what I'm saying, meaningful and catchy, and at the same time, you got to have the heart, your heart got to be really into it. I would tell anybody, the way I did it, is that I started off by basically going to the shelters. I spoke to the directors. I explained to them. I wrote proposals. I explained to them what I want to do and why I want to do it. I start off with something small. You can't really, you know what I'm saying, go big. You got to, you know what I'm saying, stay in your lane. And you got to network. And that's how you get bigger. Because once you start small and people basically love what you do, because a person could tell if the fact that you're passionate or you're just doing it just to be doing it. If they see that you're doing it because of the fact that you got the love for it, then you don't even have to advertise yourself. They're going to advertise you, period. Like, that's how I actually got put on with a lot of things and a lot of people through word of mouth. And, you know what I'm saying, just kept on doing it. I was being consistent. Like, once I left Men Taking Action, I didn't wait no 6 months to actually start Mass Focus. Actually, I started a month right after when I gave that letter of me actually leaving Men Taking Action. That month later, I actually did my Projector 25 Christmas event at a shelter. So it's like I say, it's like you gotta have passion, you gotta be dedicated, you gotta basically understand that it's gonna be hard work. It's nothing gonna be easy. Like, you gotta understand that, you know what I'm saying, it's gonna be people that are gonna actually knock you down. It's gonna be people that are gonna be closing the doors on you. You can't give up. And if the fact that you need help, that's the key. If you need help, don't be, like, you know what I'm saying, ashamed to actually ask for help. Like, I'm the type of person, like, my mind is always open. I always seek knowledge. And that's what I do. I ask people. Like, you know what I'm saying? I even call you up sometimes, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, what's good? You know what I'm saying? You know, you could tell me something, you know what I'm saying, that I probably didn't even know. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to, like, humble yourself and constantly keep leaving your mind open for more knowledge.
Okay. I definitely feel you on that, bro. You're getting real deep with it. Now, let me ask you, where do you see Matt focusing 2-3 years from now?
Honestly speaking, what I want to actually build a program for kids, you know what I'm saying, something, a place where, you know what I'm saying, they can actually get some type of information, to, either for schooling, college, you know what I'm saying, carpentry, anything that consists of, you know, this knowledge itself. A lot of times, you know what I'm saying, if you look at these kids, they don't have no place to go to actually, you know, seek knowledge. Even with the libraries is actually now falling apart, you know what I'm saying, due to the fact of lack of funds. So I just want to give back knowledge to a lot of these youth that seeking it. Because some, let's be honest, school is not for everybody. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying, this person may want to go to carpentry school, or you might want to learn how to be a mechanic, or you might actually want to learn how to, you know what I'm saying, be a, you know what I'm saying, auto mechanic, anything that just pertaining to the blue-collar field. You know what I'm saying? That don't necessarily mean the fact that you don't want to go to learn education. You just want to know, you know, listen, I just want to go into the work field. So, you know, I just want to give a place. I want to have a place where, you know, kids can come and get any type of information they want.
Now, let's talk about your content. Right? Now,
yes, sir.
Let them know the age limit for the contest. Let them know about your first contest you actually had, and let them know about this one and what was the difference between them.
Oh, I'm glad. Yo, you are. Let me tell you something, Rich. I am glad you actually asked me that question, because I was going to actually spill it out anyway if you didn't ask me. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm glad. Yo, you on point right now with this interview. Okay, let me listen. Please, it's going to be a little long-winded, but I just need you to stay focused with me. The first, the reason why I actually came up with this competition, this contest, right, because the first one, I was, you know, I'm a bus operator. And when you're a bus operator, you tend to actually interact with a lot of, you know, different personalities and personalities, whatever the case might be. So I befriended an Asian man that used to come on my bus. Now, this, I was on the B-43. If anybody know anything about Brooklyn and the B-43, that actually goes Crown Heights, Bed-Stuy, then Williamsburg. Now, anything between Williamsburg and Greenpoint used to always be Europeans and Russians. Once you get past Greenpoint, you know, it used to actually go towards Bed-Stuy and Crown Heights. That's when my bus used to only be nothing but, you know, either Hispanics or Blacks. So one day, you know, like I said, I've been friends with this Asian guy. You know, I'm on a bus. I'm just basically doing my job, you know, and I noticed, I'm like, okay, he stayed on the bus. You know, he got past Williamsburg. What are you getting past Greenpoint? Okay, we about to go down, you know, Green Home, Bed-Stuy. So we and we collaborate, we talking, we having a nice little conversation. An individual gets on my bus, acting all rudy. So, you know, the Asian guy, you know, he was just telling the guy, you know, he was an African American, the young guy, we're just telling him, listen, you know, you got kids on the bus, you know, just wipe your mouth. So, of course, you know, the African-American individual, you know, started disrespecting the Asian because, you know, he felt that, you know, he should have minded his business and, you know, saying he shouldn't have got involved in his little, you know, saying rant and raving, whatever the case might be. So I get to, you know, saying Tompkins and Gates. Now, and you know anything about Brooklyn, Gates Avenue was the most straight-up hoodest, like, basically, you know, that was straight, like, drug-related areas. Dominantly Black area was all about basically, you know, saying the African American and Hispanics. The Asian got up, got off the bus, and was like, listen, this is the reason why we are taking over the neighborhood, because y'all don't even stick together. And the fact of the matter is, y'all show no unity. Look around, we are taking over. As he got off the bus, I looked around. I'm seeing Europeans walking their little dogs. I'm seeing basically, you know, a lot of mixed cultures. And I'm like, oh, hold up. And I never noticed it. And I'm like, whoa, hold up. This area is becoming more, you know saying, multicultural. So I said, you know what? Let me see if he had any type of facts or what he's talking about as far as in unity or getting involved. So I said, you know what? I'm going to actually come up with this contest. I'm going to actually make a contest where, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to use my money. I'm going to actually, you know what I'm saying, tell the kids that they can actually write anything, express themselves about what they need done in the community or what they feel that they lack of, whatever the case might be, and you can express yourself any way you can. And I gave them categories. I said you can actually say gang relations, drug relations, lack of schooling, police brutalities, et cetera. Oh, I think I also had one where it called landlord slandering, whatever the case might be. I gave the individual people 2.5 months to actually come and basically mail their entries. Now, the first place prize was the Xbox One. The second place prize was actually a Mongoose bike. The third place prize was a 7-inch iPad. Yo, shot. Out of 3.5 months, I only received 3 letters. And two of the letters came from my actual cousin. So technically, only got one letter from 3.5 months from people. And let me tell you something. And this is how I network it. Of course, I placed it on Facebook, social media, whatever the case might be. But I physically went to each parent, each individual, myself, and say, this is what I'm doing, get the kids involved. You know what I was receiving from actual adults? Adults were telling me, okay, I will see if my daughter or my son would want to do it. Oh, my son said he don't want to do it. Oh, my daughter said that she don't have time to do it. In my head, I'm like, what? Hold up. Who the parent? I thought that you was the actual parent. Why would you want your actual son or daughter not write anything pertaining to what could better their actual community? You know what I'm saying? Why would you want that? Why would you even want to get your kids involved? But then I start realizing that it's not even the kids. It's the parents. You know, it's funny how we will rip and rave, right, about what we need done. But our action is lack. We have no action at all. Our walk is cheap. Our walk is weak. You know what I'm saying? Because of the fact that, you know what I'm saying, that we are caught up in the system. We are programmed. And we don't realize we're programmed. I'm going to give you a perfect example, Sha. My man Hawk got the black man on the Black Lives Matter. I love it.
Okay.
That's something that basically that every person that's within color to get involved in. But if you notice, my man, he's still doing it, but it's becoming more and more less because of the fact of the lack of support he's not receiving. But then we always riffing and raving about police brutality. We always saying the fact that we're not getting the respect that we're supposed to get as, you know what I'm saying, of color, or the fact that, you know what I'm saying, that we're being racial profiled because of the fact that, you know what I'm saying, that, like I said, go right back to stereotype, that everybody looked at us being gang members and stuff like that. Okay, but then you need to ask yourself, what are you doing to prevent this? See, this is the key, prevent. What are you doing to prevent it? Why are you waiting until it happens and shit to make noise? If you go into the community where it's Jewish, if you go into the community which is Muslim, which is basically religion, a lot of people look at that being an actual race, but Jewish and Muslim is not a race. But they'll talk like it if it's a race, but it's a religion. But you, if you look at, if you go to a Jewish community and you go into a Muslim community, everything is on tip-top shit. They don't attack. You know why? Because they have unity and they have strong faith. We don't have that. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not support, you know what I'm saying, GQ Palace? Why not even commend that Rich Money is trying to actually, you know what I'm saying, do something better the community? Why no one don't even actually all get together, you know what I'm saying, and basically fund GQ Palace so you could be as big as, you know, the Hot 97? Why not even do that? You know why? Because the point is, we have this, you know what I'm saying, crab in a barrel type attitude. Like, oh, nah, I don't want him to get on top, but I want to be on top. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, like I said, we have to start from the beginning. We got to start with the foundation. The parents is not taking, I'm going to say us, we're not taking responsibility of why these kids is acting the way they acting. You know what I'm saying? We can't say, oh, these kids is being disrespectful because these kids had to be actually born. Who's raising these kids? That's why I don't blame the kids. You can't, see, as parents, think about it, Shy. When we was actually young, we couldn't go no block. I could actually go to Harlem. If somebody see me doing something stupid, they'll be like, hey, you, get over here. You know you ain't supposed to be doing that. They get involved. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But now everybody's throwing a turn in the cheek. Oh, I ain't saying nothing. You know, these kids is very disrespectful. No. This is the reason why they doing what they doing, because they know they can get away with it. That's why I would never discipline a child, because a child's mind is a sponge. It only takes what they've given. So if a child's acting ratchet, it's because of the fact that basically that's what they're receiving. That's how they, you know what I'm saying? If they act, if you talk to a child, they can't articulate themselves, they can't verbally speak, it's because of the fact that in a household, they're probably speaking slang. In a household, they're probably smoking weed. In a household, they're probably drinking beer. So that's what they're picking up.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. There ain't no question about it. Now, that was the first one. Now, tell us about the second concept.
Mad focus. Okay. Now, with the second one, right? Since the fact... you know, they, since the fact that, you know, I felt that, you know, by me buying, you know, the materialistic stuff, I said, let me try. It was, you know, I'm not going to say it's wrong, but then again, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I had to do what I had to do to try to get these kids involved. So I said, you know what? I'm going to use money. Everybody's going to actually try to get involved with money. You know what I'm saying? They probably don't need a bike or Xbox One, but they're like, you know what? I can take $200. I can, you know what I'm saying? I can buy whatever I need. So I changed it up. I said, you know what, this time around, I'm going to actually use money. Me and you spoke about that. Remember before I even did it?
Uh-huh.
I told you, I had to try to come up with something where, you know what I'm saying, it's going to get people more, you know what I'm saying, interested and more involved. So I came up with the money situation. But it still wasn't really pushing the way it was supposed to be pushed. So I had to act quick. So like I said, I went to the parents, and once again, the parents were telling me that the kid basically doesn't want to do it, or they had no time to do it, or I just got tired of trying to get to these parents because they're not getting it. It's like, yo, why is it that you being friends for your kids? Like, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to basically tell and teach your kids in a pathway as in, listen, you're going to do it, no but about it, and that's it. So I thought of it. I called up Patrice, what I told you before, she's from Single Moms Inc., and I told her about my dilemma. I said, listen, you know, the parents is not getting it. It's like, I'm trying to get these kids more involved and trying to, you know, get them to understand that they have a voice by, you know what I'm saying, articulating themselves through paper. And instead of them telling the kids to do it, they basically asking them, do they want to do it? You know what I'm saying? And get involved in the community, which I don't understand. So I came up with a thing. I said, is it a way where I can get into the schools and speak to the teachers and have the teachers basically give it to the kids as a like an extra credit or something where they could do extracurricular? So that's when the entries started coming in, because the teachers, the parents, the teachers and the board, it was like, yo, that's a great idea. I love the fact that, one, you're trying to get the kids more into politics. You're trying to let them feel that they can articulate themselves in any way or fashion and express themselves through paper, penmanship. That's important. People don't realize when you get older, writing is one of the most important things besides, of course, verbally talking. But if you can't write, if you can't articulate yourself through writing, no one's going to take you seriously, especially with the fact that if you're trying to actually have your own, you have to write. So that's when the entries started coming in. And let me tell you something, Shah, I'm a.k.a. Rich Money. A lot of these kids are very smart, but a lot of them can't write. You'd be surprised. Yes, yes, sir. You'd be surprised. And that's why I'm doing this, because of the fact that, you know what I'm saying, that I want the kids to really understand that writing is important. You know what I'm saying? You know, in New York State, they have this thing called No Kid Be Left Behind. So just because your kid is graduating don't necessarily mean that your kid is smart. You know what I'm saying? Your kid could still be ignorant, which is not a bad thing. It's just that they just don't know, and still graduate from junior high school or graduate from high school. You know what I'm saying? Because of the fact that, you know what I'm saying, they got this thing called Don't Care to Be Left Behind. So I came up with this concept because, like I said, okay, I wanted to basically, you know what I'm saying, see if the fact that, you know, the kids was going to get involved. I found out that basically the parents don't want the kids to get involved. So the second time around, I came up with money, and then I came up with a different approach. Whereas in now, I got the teachers to make the kids do it. And this year, it became successful.
Now, definitely got a lot to do. Definitely. Yes, helping the kids get in progress and expanding their mind, having them do the testing, which some of them think they realize. But, you know, when you read more, that expands your mind. Now, if you could change just one thing in the community, if you had the power to change one thing in the community, what would it be and why?
Whoa. Oh, man. If I could change one thing that's going on right now in the community and why, I got to definitely say healthcare, okay? I ain't going to lie. Like, you know, I think healthcare should actually be free. It should be a privilege, you know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be something where, you know what I'm saying, only the people that basically could be able to afford it have it. It's the fact that if I could actually change the way healthcare is being brought out, I really believe the fact that everyone should have it, because unfortunately, you know, the city is getting bigger, the population is getting bigger, you know what I'm saying? The lack of aquaculture that's coming into our city is getting more cheaper, you know, they instilling and putting in steroids and other type of chemicals to make these, you know, saying vegetables and oranges and fruits and fruit and chicken and everything like that to produce more. And as you can see, you know, saying kids is getting more mature, adults is dying quicker, you know, saying medical is getting more expensive, medicine is getting more expensive. So if I could actually change anything, especially in New York City, I would actually want healthcare. If I could actually just basically give healthcare for everybody for free, and whatever the case might be, and make sure that the fact that the community understand that, one, that your health is more important than anything, then that's what I would do. People don't understand that's important. Health. Your health is very important. It actually, matter of fact, your health dictates your actual movement and your actual judgment. A lot of people don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? If the fact that if you're sickly, you know what I'm saying, your faith becomes much less. And then when you actually have less faith, what happens? You know what I'm saying? You have that I don't care attitude. You know what I'm saying? And if you go into a lot of these communities where, you know what I'm saying, you have, like in the black community, you have a lot of people have diabetes or high blood pressure or whatever the case might be. And the first thing they'll tell you, oh, you know what I'm saying, I don't care if I go in this chicken spot, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to die anyway. I got high blood pressure anyway. So these choices become, you know what I'm saying, like I said, you know what I'm saying, left. It goes left. So that would be my choice. If I could actually change anything, I've been trying to do that ever since Obama actually been in office, because of the fact that Michelle Obama, I know she was real big on health, and I wrote her twice about basically, you know what I'm saying, that's when I was with Mention in Action, about basically, you know what I'm saying, forming a health program for the community, you know what I'm saying, just to basically, you know what I'm saying, inform them on how to eat right, on how to actually, you know what I'm saying, maintain your health so you don't have to, you know what I'm saying, spend all this money on all these expensive pills or medicine that's basically only not even actually, it's not even curing you. It's just basically temporarily keeping you afloat.
Now, let me ask you this, Doc. You had the first time. Second one. But the first one was second.
Now, I can't really hear you. You can hear me?
Yeah, you can hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, right. I can hear you.
Now,
can you,
you
hear me?
You had your first contest with the gifts, right? Then you had the second one with the money. Gift wasn't that successful. The second one was successful. Now, if you do a third one, do you think you want to possibly go back with the gifts to see if that could get successful again? Or are you going to go with the money for a simple fact, you know? All right, young people, of course, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, you got the money. I'm going to go with the money. But do you feel like, okay, I'm going to try with these gifts one more time so people know it's always about the money. It's about expanding your child's mind.
Yeah, you know what? One thing about me is that I'm about growth. I actually was going to try to do something different, not even money. I was going to even actually try, you know what I'm saying, like get more involved with some of these artists and probably give some of these kids some, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying, way they could, like, introduce themselves to, like, one of these famous artists or go away, you know what I'm saying, to a summer jam, get a summer jam ticket, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm always thinking about something new, something, you know what I'm saying, that's going to actually open people's eyes. Believe me, it's going to actually be something different, though. It's going to be something different. But let me tell you something. I am very proud of these kids that got involved. A lot of these kids articulated themselves very well. They expressed their concerns very, very well. Like I said, all the entries I received this year, I went from actually only receiving 3. This year I got 78 entries, so I'm very proud. It's going to get even bigger. And I read each one of them, and each one of them, like I said before, was excellent. I'm very proud of them because, like I said, they, first of all, are winners by getting involved. You're winning. Once you get involved, you're a winner, period. You know what I'm saying? So everybody that basically, you know what I'm saying, gave and mailed off their actual entry, you're all winners by just getting involved. All entries I'm going to be mailing off to Mayor de Blasio. That's the reason why I actually did this contest as well, because, you know what I'm saying, I want him to see that the kids in the community, this is how they look at their community. It's from their eyes. This is what they wrote, you know what I'm saying? And each child expressed themselves differently. But this time around, I had to, out of all 78, I had to pick only 3. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, it was kind of hard, but I rounded off with 3. And whenever you're ready, I will ask any of the actual winners of this actual contest.
Oh, go ahead. Whenever you're ready.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. All right. Well, everybody, whoever's listening, like I said, my name is Dr. Kim Gatlin. My actual organization is called Mad Focus. I came up with an actual contest, which was called The Children Are Mad, which means making a difference contest. I wanted them to express themselves in any way or fashion. The first place winner was supposed to get $200, an actual plaque and a T-shirt and a button. The second place winner received $100, a plaque, a second place plaque, a T-shirt and a button. And the third place prize would receive $50, a T-shirt, a button, and a third place plaque. All right, I'm going to actually say who actually won first place. The first place winner, her name is Asari Nisi. It's N-E-S-C-I. She's from Brooklyn. Her essay was phenomenal. I'm just going to actually briefly tell you exactly what she wrote. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to briefly tell you what she wrote. She actually wrote about bullying and about basically on how you can actually come about taking away bullying by actually coming up with a system called ABS, which ABS stands for Anti-Bullying Squads. And she felt the fact that, you know, that the city needs more pools, because when a child actually becomes more hot and aggravated, he tends to do more, you know, say negativity. So if you have more pools, it will actually cool them down. Like, she gave a brief description about everything that she felt that basically the community could be doing. But her main concern was about bullying, because she was bullied herself. And she's actually was 8 years old. She's 8 years old, and her penmanship. Yeah. So Asari, she actually won the first place prize. That's $200. The second place prize goes to Brianna Baishu. Yes, Brianna Baishu. I hope I'm saying it right. It's B-A-I-C-H-U, her last name. Actually, she wrote a phenomenal, essay as well. I'm going to give a briefing of what she wrote about. She basically was telling Mayor de Blasio that they need more programs and more books and libraries to educate the kids, because of the fact that the kids don't have no place to go. And when they don't have no place to go, they tend to actually do, you know what I'm saying, negative things. So her thing was, like, if you actually bring in more science and technologies and chess and art, which would be fun and challenging, then the kids will actually be able to articulate themselves. And she's from Brooklyn. She's 12 years old. So she won, actually, second prize. And last but not least is a young individual. He actually is in the fifth grade. I don't know his age, because when I got there, he actually was graduating. So I wasn't actually able to actually meet him up close, but I gave his actual prize to his guidance counselor. And he wrote actually something real good. He won third prize. And his thing was that he was feeling that, you know, that the libraries need more books. He said because of the fact that, you know, that a lot of times, you know, there's only small gingers of books that pertain to sports, and there's nothing really there for, like, history and fashion and stuff like that, where he's actually living at. So he felt that the community needed more books. And at the same time, he was saying that that they need more bullying programs at school, because of the fact that of social bullying and stuff like that. Now, since the fact that there's Facebook and Instagram, that kids is now using social media to bully, you know, other individuals. So they should have some type of extracurricular program for that, for kids that's getting bullied. So I felt that he definitely deserved the third prize. So that's basically it.
Now, do you have any up and coming things going on that we should know about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I said, each month or each 2 months, I try to get something done. in August. Actually, it's not written in stone. I think it's on the 26th, but the actual event is written in stone, about not the date, that I'm actually having a book bag giveaway, as well as having the community come out, who basically game trucks and stuff like that. That's something that's definitely going to be going on. If anybody want to know exactly when, you can follow me on Facebook. My name is Doc Kim, Daddy Doc Gatlin. Or you can go on my page, which is called Math Focus. And I update my page every week. And you can actually find out each and every event that I'm actually having, as well as my Projector 25 that I have every December, which basically caters to women, not men. I feel that men, we are providers, we are kings, and sometimes we are dealt a bad hand, but we are the ones that can actually get ourselves out of that situation. Whereas I feel that women, which is basically supposed to be our ribs, they are the ones that basically caters to the kids. So I want to make sure that I cater to them, because they are our foundation. They are the ones that give birth to us. So I cater more to women and children more than men. I hope men understand that my catering to you is to give you knowledge, because knowledge is a brand that you can never take away. Money comes and goes. Knowledge, you could get rich. So, you know, I cater more to women and kids. And if men, you know, if they need some type of knowledge of how to actually, either for a job interview or where they need to go to actually, you know, get a job, I will definitely give you that. So that's my two events I'm having. It's basically the book bag give back, which is going to be in August. And then I'm having the actual Projector 25, which is basically in December.
Okay, okay. Now, is there anything that you felt, that you
want to
let them know that
was? Yeah, definitely. Listen, people, we need to get it together. We looking bad as a unit. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just gonna give it to you raw. You know what I'm saying? We can't keep crying and talking and talking, but I'm saying we're not walking. Our walk is weak right now, and they see it. Believe me, society see it. That's why we don't really, you know what I'm saying, get no progress going, because of the fact we don't utilize our actual talent, which is basically, you know what I'm saying, our mind. We are very smart. We know how to articulate ourselves. We are very inventive. We basically, you know what I'm saying, actually created this basically country, if you think about it. So what we need to do, we need to actually stop bickering, stop killing one another. We need to unite. We need to actually come together, you know what I'm saying, and understand the fact that, you know what I'm saying, as one, we can actually be powerful. As you can see, you know what I'm saying, in every borough, Bronx, Manhattan, Queens, Staten Island, and Brooklyn, we getting kicked out. We getting kicked out. And the only reason why we getting kicked out is, like I said, because our walk is weak. We need to get more powerful. I'm telling you, you know what I'm saying, you've got to come together. And believe me, once that happens, you know what I'm saying, we're unstoppable. Can't get caught up with that word minority, because we are the majority. That's it.
Okay. Definitely want to thank you, and you definitely do it a lot. You know, you're a strong-minded brother. We got a lot going on for you. We definitely appreciate you here at GT Palace, helping out the community, expanding our children's mind. We definitely going to support you to the fullest. We definitely gonna get those people involved and have their kids get involved. So we definitely gonna take it to another level.
Thank you, my dude. I appreciate it. I appreciate Storm. I don't want to leave her out. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm saying y'all two is basically, you know what I'm saying, like I said, is doing a beautiful, remarkable job in GQ Palace. And I want to commend both of y'all for having a platform for people that basically want to be heard but can't be heard because of capitalism. You know what I'm saying? And I love the fact that y'all giving people free advertisement. That's the key, is that you're giving people, and people don't understand that, you're getting people on the air asking for no money and being heard. And I commend you for that. I commend both of you for that, because you're giving people a platform to actually get their workout. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I want to, you know what I'm saying, tell you to keep it up, and y'all going to get big. I'm going to support you as well. As you can see, I keep coming to you, and I appreciate the fact that, you know what I'm saying, with open arms. You say with no hesitation. It's like, yo, it's no problem. So we got to support each other, you know what I'm saying, for us to actually get bigger.
Mm-hmm. We definitely appreciate that. It wouldn't be no me and Storm if it wasn't for you. A lot of people don't know that.
Amen. Oh, yeah, before I even say, yeah, before you even get me off the air, I got to listen. I just want to say one more thing, too, and I want to say this to the kids. I want to say this to the parents. And it's between, this is people don't realize that me and Rich, we knew each other for like 35 plus years. And don't get it twisted. Like, I'm not a good dude when I was young. Like, me and Shaw, I'm not portraying the fact that I was some good two type person that, you know what I'm saying, never did wrong. It is that the reason why me and Shaw is where we at right now is because we always put ourselves, you know what I'm saying, in position, you know what I'm saying, to have positive role models guide us, you know what I'm saying? So, me personally, I want to give a shout out. I'm going to call him Ma. I'm going to call, like, let's say, Miss Frida. You know what I'm saying? Miss Frida raised me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? She raised us. You know what I'm saying? I want to give a shout out to, like I said, Lisa, your aunt, my aunt. You know what I'm saying? Yo, I know she got tired of us constantly keep coming to our house. You know what I'm saying? But she treated us like one of the kids, and she made sure that, you know what I'm saying, we was fed and we was out the street. I'm going to give a major shout out to Uncle Reg. You know what I'm saying? Big Reg. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? You know how that goes. You know what I'm saying? Yo, he was my father figure. He kept us off the street. And even to the fact that he saw us going left, you know what I'm saying? He made sure the fact that we was in the house and we were going left in the house.
Exactly.
So, you know what I'm saying? Yo, I try to tell these kids, I'm like, listen, you have to basically position yourself with role models. You got to position yourself with people, you know what I'm saying, that even if the fact that, you know what I'm saying, you have no type of guidance, you know what I'm saying, that the person that you actually position yourself with, you got to make sure you go in the right path. I position myself, Shaw position himself. Everybody have options. You don't have to be a product of the environment. Just because you from the hood, you don't have to act hood. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to get that off my chest. And you know what I'm saying? Yo, Shaw, once again, I appreciate you, man. Much love. You know what I'm saying? I spoke to my goddaughter today. I'm feeling blessed. A lot of things is going on, you know what I'm saying? But you got to feel blessed, you know what I'm saying, each and every day. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Definitely an honor having you on, and you welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. Never.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Kim Gatlin, Dons and Diva, CEO of Mad Folk. Hey, y'all. That's it for tonight's show. Make sure y'all get in touch with Dr. Kim. He's on Facebook. Dr. Kim. Daddy,
yes, sir.
Daddy,
yes, sir. I'm going to listen to the actual show. Yes.
All
right. Yeah, they feel kind of funny. Yeah, that was for the ladies, dude. That was for the ladies. Exactly. It's Doc Kim, Daddy Doc Gatlin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's like a tongue twister, man. You know, I can't
say. It's all good, though. You know what I'm saying?
But,
yo, thank you, man.
What's up? We definitely gonna go out with this exclusive track by Pure Octane featuring Keith KC from Rex in Effect to the Limit. Don't forget, like I said, make sure y'all hit Doc him up. Make sure y'all kids get involved for what he's doing, because it's big and it's supporting our kids and it's supporting our community. I'm Rich Money.
Amen.
Shout out to Storm. Y'all have a safe and blessed weekend. Happy 4th of July. I'll see y'all. Make sure y'all stay out there. We out. DC Palace Radio. Love and entertainment.